verses 36 and 44. It says, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready at all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. As we pray this morning and we do our call and response, your part will be to say, Lord, come down. I'll say, Lord, come down, and you'll say, come in, come among us. We'll pray that together. So let's pray. Lord, we watch, we wait, we look, we long for you. Dispel the clouds and darkness and awaken us to your glory, that we may walk in your light through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, you are ever among us. Open our eyes to your presence, that your church may be true to its mission, that each congregation may proclaim your goodness, that all of us may show forth your glory. Lord, come down, come in, come among us. To the nations that are looking for freedom, to the peoples who are longing for liberty, to the individuals striving for justice, to all who are seeking to improve the world, to all who are seeking to improve themselves, Lord, come down, come in, come among us. To our homes as we prepare for your coming, to our loved ones as they reveal to us your love, to our work that it may show forth your presence, into our leisure and into our pleasures, Lord, come down, come in, come among us. To all who long for release, to all who cry in pain, to the sick in body, in mind, and in spirit, to those who can no longer cope, to all who are oppressed and in darkness, to all who watch and wait and weep for you, Lord, come down, come in, come among us. That we may know that life is eternal, that we may rejoice in hope, that we may come to your glory. Lord, come down, come in, come among us. May you see the glory of God in every place and in every face, and the peace of the Lord be always with you. God, who always comes to you, draw you to his love, draw you to his light, draw you to himself. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. How is everyone? Yes, good to see you this morning. In case you haven't met yet, I'm Lee. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. How's Gino? How's his car? I saw on Facebook he hit a deer or a deer hit him this morning. Is that right? Woo! Yes. Yeah. He should have kept it, took it home, skinned it. Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, those deer, they're just the dumbest creatures on the planet, aren't they? Oh, my goodness. One time I watched a deer run into the side of a pickup truck right in front of me. And, like, it hit it, and it obviously, like, broke its neck, you know. Stepped back, its head is just sort of hanging this way. And then it goes for round two. Like, it's, like, going to hit it again, you know. So, oh, my goodness. Boy, they're just horrible. One time, one just, it hissed at me. I thought, I was driving, and I see deer on the side of the road, and they're like grazing, and I was like, oh, what a beautiful picture. Look at these majestic creatures. They're so wonderful. So I did what any normal human being would do, is I stopped the car, I rolled down the window, and I went, hey! And like, the buck looks at me, he's like, ah. I was like, get me out of here, Wendy's like, go, go, go! So, yeah. So, deer. hey, let's put our... Yes, I'm glad it wasn't a bear. Let's put the mission statement up here. This is great. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about as a church. I love this church. I love our mission. I love our passion. I love that what we're doing here. And I'm so excited about this mentoring club coming up, that the kids that we get to bless at camp once a year, now we get to spend once a month with. Oh, I'm so jazzed about that. We have an awesome church, and I'm glad that you guys are a part of it. You guys make it awesome. This morning what we're doing is we are wrapping up our Crazy Makers series. So does anybody feel more prepared to go into the holidays now that, yeah, a couple people, yeah, now that you've learned about, you know, how to deal with crazy makers. And we're wrapping up a three-part series. We've talked about seeing our crazy makers the way that God does, that our crazy makers bear the image of God, that God loves them very much. We talked about resolving conflicts. Wendy talked last week about that. You know, that conflict inside of us a lot of times results in conflict around us. And so we need to resolve that conflict inside of us. The big question I think that we face when it comes to our crazy makers, the ultimate question is, where do we draw the line with the difficult people in our lives? And that's a tough one. You know, we all got difficult people in our lives. But where do we draw the line? At what point do we look at our crazy maker and go, you know what? We're done. This isn't happening anymore because you're driving me crazy, right? You're a crazy maker. Where do we reach that point? And I know a lot of people, like you might be thinking right now, you might be going, wait a minute. Are you saying that that's an option? That's an option? Well, I thought love bears all things, right? And so we tell ourselves sometimes that thing. Oh, love bears all things. Love hopes all things. If I really love this person, then there is no point where we go, I'm cutting you off. We've got to distance ourselves. And we're going to talk about that today. That's a tough one. It's sticky because we believe that we would never cut someone off in our lives. That's just the wrong thing to do. We have this idea that it's not godly or we're horrible people if we cut people off. And that's just so tough. And it's a touchy subject. And it's a really tough one for me to kind of talk about today. But I remember I grew up actually with a relative that has substance abuse, and it was very difficult, and they got very ugly. They had a violent temper. They abused drugs, and really, for 40 years of my life, I tried my best to love this person, to get along with this person, to stay in relationship with this person, but it was tough. It was almost sort of like I had to ask myself a question. You know, how many times do you walk into, you know, a bear's den and get mauled before you go, maybe it's my fault for walking into that bear's den over and over again, right? Maybe it's my fault for not, you know, walking away from the bear. And, you know, those are important questions that we have to wrestle with. And so I remember just this relationship with this person sort of dominating my thoughts, exhausting my emotions, affecting my decisions. Will this please this person? Will this upset this person? Will this stir their wrath? Will this, you know? And then, unfortunately, in my situation, is this person's wrath would be stirred at really benign things, you know? And maybe you've known somebody like this with a violent temper. And you're like, what did I do? Why is this person cussing at me? Why is this person just totally, you know, just spewing venom on me? I didn't do anything, right? And it would come at random times. And that's just tough. It occurred to me one day with the help of a psychologist, you know, you go to the experts when it comes to, when you're like, hey, what's mentally healthy? What's emotionally healthy? And it occurred to me that this person just was incapable. Like, that this person in my life would never be able to be a healthy part of my life. That's just, it's not going to happen. They will never be a healthy part of my life. They will always be a toxic element in my life. They just don't have that capability, you know. And in the words of my psychologist, is years of drug and alcohol abuse have just fried out that part of their brain. Just, you know, you can't expect them to be a healthy part of your life. that they're just not capable. There'll always be a toxic element. They'll always bring pain. And we will always be in this crazy making cycle. So it's just kind of time to cut the cord, you know. And that's hard. It was difficult. And I, you know, to this day, I wish that it were different. But the best decision for my life and for my family was to go, this isn't going to happen anymore. You're just not allowed in my life anymore, you know. And maybe you have had someone like that in your life, or you do have someone like that in your life, where it's just like no matter what you do, you'll just be kind of in this crazy making cycle that this person will always be toxic, and no matter how many times you try to be spiritual and loving and all of those things that we think that we have to be towards someone who's toxic or someone who's a crazy maker in our lives, and you've got that and you try those things over and over again, you just keep finding yourself back in the same place, right? Over and over again. I think most people know what I'm talking about. I think we all maybe have at least one person like that in our lives. And if you haven't, then just give it time. You can love somebody with that 1 Corinthians kind of love. You can pray for that person. All those things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. You've done your due diligence, in other words, you know. You've tried to get along with each other, and you just can't seem to find peace in that relationship, right? And what does God have to say about this? This is so important. You know, how do we keep the crazy makers from constantly bringing pain or bringing chaos into our lives? We're going to talk about that. Super important. And I believe that God wants to talk to some people today and even kind of set some people free. But let's pray first. God, I pray that your word would come alive in us today. Lord, that you would give us understanding of where you stand on this issue. Lord, we want to please you. We don't want to please the crazy maker. We want to please you. God, I pray that you would bring transformation to us, that you'd bring healing to us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to start off by taking a look at Titus chapter 3. Now, if you remember, just a few months ago, we looked at Titus chapter 3, but we're going to kind of come back to it again. You guys remember we went through the book of Titus earlier this year? All right, so if you don't remember, that's good. Then this is fresh for you today, right? But you have to remember that Titus was trying to establish almost sort of like an eldership over the local church, okay? But he was surrounded by people who were called in Scripture, they were called liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons. I mean, this is Scripture, you know? So it's calling these people liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons. I think all of us at least have one liar, one cruel animal, and one lazy glutton in our life. Some, all three. In other words, Titus was kind of surrounded by crazy makers. He's surrounded by people that were toxic. And this is the advice that Paul had to give to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, okay? It says this, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not, and this is part, and I think a lot of crazy makers lean towards this. It says they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. You ever notice that some crazy makers, it seems like that's all they do? They're just slandering people and making fun of people. They're quarreling with people. They're breaking out with arguments, and you're going, why are we arguing about this? It's almost like they argue because they like to argue or because they can't help themselves. You know, slandering, arguing, quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish. Once we too were disobedient. We were misled and became slaves of many lusts and pleasures. But our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. We were crazy makers at one time, right? Okay, but when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in Christ will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or quarrels and or fights about obedience to Jewish laws. Because see, this is what was happening in the church at that time. Okay, there was fighting, there was quarreling going on, and it was over just silly things. Okay, he says these things are useless; they're a waste of time. Okay, arguing over useless things, silly things, stupid things, they're just a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, this is verse 10, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing to do with them. So even the Apostle Paul is admonishing the church. Look, if you've got people in your midst that are causing divisions, that are just quarreling over stupid things, they're focusing on what divides you instead of unites you. They're slandering and they're, you know, causing constant quarreling. He said, give them one warning. After that, have nothing to do with them. Okay, so this is the scripture, and some of you might be going, "Whoa, that's heavy. That's not fair." Well, is it? Is it fair to keep people like that in your life? Constantly causing quarreling, divisions, constantly slandering, constantly arguing. Okay? Here's the thing. God loves unity. God loves it when we get along. God loves it when we get along in the church. God loves it when you get along with your coworkers. God loves it when you get along with your family. There's a blessing in unity. And when there's that element in your life, and your element in your relationship, and element in your circles, and element at work, and your element in your family, that it's just constant strife and division and quarreling and slandering, God says, hey, one warning, and then have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. All right? For people like these have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. Anybody else feel like that's kind of heavy? Yeah, that's heavy. Wow. Okay? Listen, if you remember one thing today, I want you to remember this. Kindness, love, mercy, and grace are for you too. They're for you too, right? And a lot of times what we do is we say, hey, out of kindness, out of mercy, out of love, out of grace, I'm going to just keep this person in my life that is constantly bringing toxicity, constantly bringing quarrels, constantly bringing arguments, constantly bringing divisions, constantly driving everybody nuts. I'm going to keep them in my life out of mercy for them, out of grace, out of love for them. But we forget that mercy and grace and love are for us too. And so sometimes saying, hey, enough's enough, listen, this just isn't going to work anymore. That's showing yourself a little bit of love, a little bit of mercy, a little bit of kindness and grace, because God intends those things for you too. All right? That's so important. A lot of often times when we deal with crazy makers, we tend to deny ourselves kindness. We deny ourselves love. We deny ourselves mercy and grace. In an effort to, remember Wendy talked about it yesterday or last week, in an effort to keep the peace. I'm going to put up with somebody abusing me in an effort to keep the peace. Because I want everybody to be happy. I don't want people to think I'm a jerk. I don't want people, whatever, you know. And so in order to keep the peace, I'm just going to keep playing nice with this person, even though they are just, they're crazy makers. Even though they're bringing divisions, they're bringing quarreling, they're mockers, they're slanderers, right? And so to keep the peace, we say we'll keep them in our lives, but all it does is just bring this cycle of that we just resent them more, we just hurt them more, we lose more sleep, we go nuts, and we have this toxicity in our life because we won't obey the scripture that says, have nothing more to do with them. You've talked to them about it once, give them one warning, after that, just have nothing to do with them. Okay? And so we deny ourselves kindness to keep the peace with someone who's abusive, someone who's irrational, someone who's unstable, right? Because sometimes, right, we deal with a person like that and we go, and there's no rationality, right? You know, that's just, that behavior is so irrational, it drives me nuts. I don't know what to do with myself. I lay awake at night thinking about the right thing to say to that person, and you can't come up with the right thing to say because they're completely irrational. Right. And so, in the same way, listen, if your child had someone like that in their life, what would you tell your child to do? Right. And why would you tell your child to do that? Because you love them. right? You would tell your child to cut themselves off from a person like that if somebody was treating them that way at school. If somebody was treating them that way in the neighborhood, you'd be like, hey, I don't want you hanging around with that person anymore, okay? But for some reason, when it comes to us and someone like that is in our life, we don't give ourselves that same advice. We don't treat ourselves that way. We don't give ourselves the same love that we would give our children, okay? Because we were made to be loved. We were not made to be abused. God did not put you on the planet to be abused by some crazy maker. You were made to be loved, okay? So it's okay to protect yourself. It's okay to place healthy boundaries in your life. It's okay to expect others to treat you with the same dignity and the respect that you've shown them. Okay? So how can we respond to crazy makers in a way that's healthy and gracious towards ourselves? Well, first of all, refuse to be offended. If somebody comes and a crazy maker spews their garbage all over you, which they will, don't take it personally when that crazy maker spews their crazy on you. Refuse to be offended. I'm not going to be offended by that. Because listen, what they say to you and do to you says a heck of a lot more about them than it does about you. Right? Have you ever been like you know, trolling Facebook? And it's like anymore you can't say anything without somebody coming along with a snarky, stupid comment. Right? It's like, you know, you can say today, oh, it's a beautiful day, and some doorknob will come along and go, maybe beautiful for you, what about all the suffering people down in Texas? You know? So somebody will come along and say something snarky and stupid, but when you read that comment, it's not like you're going, yeah, what about all the people in Texas? You're going, what an idiot. Why would they say something stupid like that, right? So when somebody says something stupid about you, when somebody, you know, does something like that to you, it says a heck of a lot more about them than it does about you. So refuse to be offended. We've all seen that before. We never read that comment and agree with it. We just think, that's a crazy maker who's making a comment. What a jerk, you know. Don't take it personally and refuse to be offended, okay? Next thing is this. Don't wait for them to apologize to forgive them. Don't wait for them to apologize, okay? Chances are they will never ask you for forgiveness. Most crazy makers don't. Because crazy makers tend to blame you for their behavior instead of owning it themselves. You know, well, I wouldn't have yelled at you if you weren't such a fill in the blank. I wouldn't have treated you that way if you just would have given me a little more respect. I wouldn't have, you know, and so most crazy makers will never ask for forgiveness because they've got this Rolodex of excuses, because for a lot of crazy makers, they may never say this, but the world kind of revolves around them. Right? Especially if you're dealing with somebody with addiction. People with addictions, that's just the way that their brain starts to get wired, is the world kind of revolves around them, and you know, their behavior is always somebody else's fault. You know, they treated you however they treated you because, you know, life didn't treat them right, and so they're just fighting back, or because you didn't respect them right, or whatever, 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 okay? So most crazy makers won't own up to their behavior, won't own up to what they say and do, and so they'll probably never ask for forgiveness. And if they do, they might go, hey, I'm sorry, but you really, you know. And so don't wait for them to apologize to forgive them. Just forgive them. Learn to forgive quickly, because you can't afford to carry that resentment around with you. You just can't afford. It's just too expensive. You can't afford to carry that resentment around with you. And carrying resentment around with you just puts you at risk of becoming a crazy maker. All right? So don't wait for them to apologize to forgive. Just forgive them, okay? The third thing is this. This is really important. Refuse to gossip about that person. I said, well, just don't gossip about that person, okay? We give voice to that. We gossip about them, and it just makes things worse. Listen, gossip should be beneath every one of us in here. That should be, like even the thought of gossiping, of slandering somebody, of talking negative about somebody behind their back, that should just, you know, you should be like, ah, that's beneath me. You know, refuse to gossip about that person. Gossiping is beneath you, and it just adds toxicity to an already bad situation when you start gossiping about them, okay? And so giving voice to your offense, in other words, people call it venting. We've all been there, right? I just need to vent. Whoa, what does Scripture say? A fool gives full vent to his anger, right? So venting only makes the offense feel stronger, you know? Have you ever done that before where like you did a little bit of venting and when you were done, you didn't feel any better? Like you had this immediate sort of like maybe release, but then it, you know, long haul, it didn't make anything any better, right? Am I the only one who's ever vented? You guys are all holier than thou. Yeah, forget you people. You know, refuse to gossip. It just adds toxicity to an already bad situation. Giving voice to your offense just makes it stronger. Proverbs 26:20 says, fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when the gossip stops. Okay, fire goes out without wood. In other words, when we kind of talk about that, we vent about that, and we gossip about those situations, all it does is just add fuel to the fire. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire, and we don't want to do that. Okay, gossiping should be beneath you. Take the high ground. Refuse to paint that crazy maker in a bad light, all right? And it's just, okay, moving on. Fourth, refuse to play their game. Refuse to play their game. This is so important. Because here's the thing about crazy makers. Crazy makers use conflict to get attention. Right? Crazy makers use conflict to get attention. And when we engage in that conflict with them, we're giving them exactly what they want. And so refuse to play their game. I'm sure that's somewhere in police training. Right, I'm sure training as a correctional officer, that's somewhere in there. Refuse to play their game. You know, they use conflict to get attention. Here's the thing. Like, I've found that when I have things like that, you know, and online, it just happens online anymore. Oh, my goodness. God, just make Facebook go away. Make this thing. You know, because I find when that happens, somehow people are emboldened behind their mobile devices, aren't they? You can talk to somebody. I can have a conversation with Cole. You know, I won't use any example because you never do this. You're perfect. But you can have a conversation with somebody and it goes one way. But as soon as that conversation face-to-face is over and they get behind their mobile device, it's a different story altogether, right? And they get emboldened to say things that are dumb, and and you want to engage, and you want to defend yourself, or you want to, you want to explain or give an answer to their weird comment or whatever. You know what? Delete it. Just delete it. Just like it never happened. Don't engage with the crazy maker, because that's what they want. That's what they want. Don't play their game. And so they're creating conflict to get attention. Okay? And so Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3 tells us that fools insist on quarreling. Fools insist on quarreling. So people who are insisting on and trying to suck you into that sort of interaction, they're fools, according to Scripture. Okay? Fools insist on quarreling. Don't give in to their demands. Right? Listen, sometimes crazy makers, what they do is they'll try to accuse, like they want something, they have a demand, and they will accuse you of being selfish, and they'll accuse you of being a jerk, and accuse you of being uncaring because you're not giving in to their demands, right? That's how they work, right? And so you, do you have a comment? They will, because they're better at it, right? Oh, my goodness. And so you are a horrible person because you're not doing what, you're not fulfilling their expectations, right? And that's the way fools work, man. That's the way crazy makers work. If you give in to their demands, because it's manipulating, they're manipulating you into giving in to their demands. And that demand might be to whatever, to attend something that you don't want to attend, or to lend them something or help them with something that it's just not feasible for you to help them with, or to whatever, you know what I mean? And sometimes, we've had people, I remember when I lived in Denver, people would come along to sell newspaper subscriptions door to door, and they would hire people out of like, some of them had addiction problems and things like that, and they would come to the door, and when you didn't subscribe, they would start to get ugly. Well, come on, don't you want to help me out? I said that I have a son that I need to feed. Don't you want to, you know what? And they kind of try to engage you in something to get you to subscribe to the newspaper. You know, don't give in to their demands, because, listen, you can love that person without giving in to their demands, because love is not giving in to manipulation. That's not love. Giving in to manipulation is not loving that person, although a lot of times we will tell ourselves that it is, because those crazy makers have manipulated us in such a way that we begin to believe that if I don't give in to their demands, that I really don't love them, and God wants me to love them. Love is not being manipulated, okay? Does that help anybody? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Allow God's word and Christ's example to set the rules, not the crazy maker. Because the crazy maker wants to set the rules. Follow God's word. Follow the way that Christ loved people in the Gospels. Let that example create the rules for you, not the crazy maker. Okay? So it's so important. Refuse to play their game. And the last thing of this is probably the hardest part, but give yourself freedom to separate yourself from that person. Okay? You got to give yourself freedom to separate yourself from that person. You've done everything that we've talked about in this series. You've tried to love. You've tried to, you know, resolve inner conflict and outer conflict. You've done everything that you can. You've seen them as God sees them. You've done everything that we've talked about, and the crazy maker is still just a source of pain, a source of manipulation, a source of quarreling, a source of toxicity in your life, then you know what? It's time to put some distance between the two of you. It's time to do that, right? Because like I said, if you go into a cave and you get mauled by a bear, and then you come out of the cave and you go back into the cave, whose fault is it then when you've been mauled a second and third and fourth and fifth time? Is it the bear's fault? It's your fault, because you keep going into the cave, right? And so we have to remember that. We allow ourselves to separate them. It's just time to put some distance between the two of you. And that doesn't mean that you put some distance between the two of you and you hate them and you resent them and you disrespect them. Not at all. And you're not holding unforgiveness. That's not what that's all about, okay? You still love them. You forgive them. You're just not going to play their game anymore. You're just going to go to another playground. All right? And that's what that is. You can give yourself freedom to separate yourself from that person. Proverbs 22:10 says this. It says, throw out the mocker and the fighting goes too. Right? Throw out the mocker and the fighting goes too. Quarrels and insults will disappear. All right? So Scripture is giving you permission to throw out the mocker, to separate yourself from the person that's constantly bringing quarrels and insults into your life. All right? And so it's so important that we give ourselves permission. In Titus 3:10, remember I read this just a minute ago because you're talking about crazy makers in the church, says, first, you know, give them a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. Right? So in our personal relationships, a lot of that's just, hey, you know, this is it. You've offended me and whatever, you give them the first and second warning, then you know what? Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. You might be thinking, at this point, you might be thinking, I thought we were supposed to forgive. Can I just say, forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. Okay? You can forgive somebody and still not trust them. And you are not being unchristlike. You are not being unbiblical in your love for them. You can forgive them and not trust them. And so in my case, in my life, I have people that I just don't trust not to be irrational, not to bring crazy, not to, you know, bring quarreling and slander and all those things into my life. And so I've gone, hey, I love them, I forgive them, but I don't trust them. And so I can't allow them into this space in my life anymore. Okay? And so forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. God does not expect you to be a doormat. He doesn't. God does not expect you to go over and over again and experience that kind of hurt and that kind of pain and expect you to be a doormat, okay? Forgiveness, we do quickly and we give freely. But trust is earned. People have to earn our trust. And if they've lost your trust and they've broken that trust, they've got to earn that trust back, Okay? And so if you've got a person in your life that's characterized by breaking trust, who's characterized by being a crazy maker, who's characterized by those things, hey, you know, it might be just time to just say, I block people on my phone, I block people on social media and things like that. I don't even know if they know that they're blocked. Maybe they do, I don't know. But sometimes it's just time to do that. It's just time to do that, right? And you block them so that they don't show up on your phone. They can't text you. They can't bother you. They can't suck you into their crazy-making games, okay? You forgive them. You love them, but you just don't trust them. So forgiveness we do quickly, and we give freely, but trust is earned. And, you know, some people are just not capable. They're just not capable of having a healthy relationship with you. And separating yourself from that person can create space in your life to experience a life-giving friendship with somebody else. Think about the time and the energy that crazy makers suck out of you in your life. Could you imagine having that time and energy back? Imagine having that time and energy to spend with someone, to make friendships and relationships that are life-giving, right? Instead of life-sucking and draining, okay? And so separating yourself from the person can create that space in your life that you need to have healthy relationships, all right? And so what I want to do this morning is, I want to end off this morning, close by praying for you, by just saying a prayer. Wendy, why don't you come with me? I feel like God, maybe the Holy Spirit's got something. Where did she go? Oh, the new communion this morning. Okay. Well, somebody needs to tell her that we're wrapping up. So, Linda, if you want to just go back there, yeah, somebody just go back there, let her know. But sometimes we allow certain crazy makers to stay in our life, right? And they take up space in our heads just for too long, you know. They take up space in our heads, and we begin to believe the negative things that they say to us. This is tough, and this is important, and I want you guys really to listen to the Holy Spirit about this. Because here's what happens. Crazy makers, man, they say some hurtful things. You get people in your life that will say things to you, and if I had a recording of all of the awful things that were said to me, it wouldn't even get an NC-17 rating. It would be beyond. It would be banned, you know. It would be horrible. And sometimes crazy makers, in their effort to manipulate you, they will call you names, they will accuse you, they will judge you and accuse your intentions. You know, sometimes even crazy makers will tell you what you're thinking, you know, or crazy makers will tell you how you feel, right? And you're going, right? And you just feel like, where did that come from, you know? And you just feel like going, how do you know how I feel, right? Sometimes crazy makers will just say the worst things to you. But because you're a mature adult and you're a rational adult and you're following Jesus, sometimes you might say to yourself, maybe they're right. Maybe there's a kernel of truth to what that person is saying. You ever felt that before? And sometimes it'll settle in. If you had a parent in your life, maybe you had a dad who always told you were stupid or always told you were lazy, or maybe you had a crazy maker in your life who always, you know, told you that you were ugly or all those things. And then you start to, that almost like that like plants a seed in your mind. And I know I've done that before where it's just like somebody has just said something awful about me. And I knew my heart before that conversation, and I knew that I what they were saying wasn't true. But then after that conversation, I thought, well, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe I am a closet a-hole. Maybe I am. Maybe, you know, and those things begin to take root in us. Can I just tell you, that is not God's voice. That is not what God says to you today. And so what I want to do is, if that's you, if you've been in that situation or are in that situation, I just want to pray for you that the Holy Spirit just breathes truth into you, truth into your mind, truth in your heart, that you walk in what God says about you and not what your crazy maker has said about you. Excuse me. Got a little passionate about that one. If you want prayer for that today, would you stand up with me? I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God sets you free from those lies. Those are lies. You know, if If we didn't have kids in the room, I'd say exactly what that is. That's BS. Man, that is the devil's BS. And I believe that God wants to breathe truth into your heart today, that God wants to set you free from that. Those are the words of the crazy maker. We're not going to play their games. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to fall for that. Because God has amazing things for you. God has made you amazing. And so we just want to pray for you. Did you have anything that you wanted to share about that? You know what, while you're standing up, I want to pray also. You know, maybe you're convinced that love bears all things. You're kind of sitting in here and you're going, it would be unloving to that person if I loved myself enough to create strong boundaries. And you've believed that lie. It would be unloving if I distanced myself from that crazy maker. And you've just been unable to do that. Would you stand too? And I want to pray for you. Maybe it's somebody at work. Thank you, yeah. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe you don't want to do Christmas with them this year because they're hurtful. But you're thinking it would be unloving. But you're allowing them to manipulate you into being a part of their season. And you want prayer for that. I want to pray for you. You can stand up for that too. Because neither of these lines of thinking are what God wants for you. Neither of those lines of thinking are what God wants for you. And just imagine the freedom of just not having to deal with that person anymore. Does that like put a smile on your face? Yeah, it hurts, it's painful, it's not comfortable, it's not something that we do joyfully. But there's freedom in that, to just go, you know, I give myself the freedom to not talk to that person anymore. I give myself the freedom to just cut that person out of my life. I don't care if they're a family member. I don't care if they're my sister or my brother or my stepdad or my cousin or whatever. I'm just going to give myself the freedom and the permission to just not talk to that person anymore because they're crazy makers. And it's time to cast out the mocker, right? It's time to cast out the quarrel, to throw out the mocker, right? So you have nothing more to do with them. And so God's crazy about you, and he doesn't want that toxicity in your life. So let's pray for them. You grab the microphone. You can pray too. I want you to pray too. Go ahead.
Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. God, I just ask that you would bring your truth, that you would breathe your truth. And Father, in these cases where if we have someone in our life that just we need to just not include them in our life anymore. Father, I pray that you would help us to have that discernment. Lord, sometimes you want us to reconcile, and sometimes you want us to pursue peace, and you want us to embrace that conflict. And other times, you want us to be set free from what's going on there because there's not going to be reconciliation on their end. So, God, I pray that you would help these people standing to be able to be free from condemnation or guilt in these areas, God, and that you would bring your wisdom and your truth into these situations. Father, that you would help us to see that we can be loving and forgiving, but not put ourselves there to be the mat that they walk on.
Yes, God.
That's not what you want for us. God, bring your wisdom and your truth and your revelation in the name of Jesus.
God, I pray for every person that has allowed lies to maybe just even take the tiniest of root in their hearts, in their minds, God. God, things that have been spoken to them or spoken over them or insults that have been hurled to them or accusations that have been made of them that are just completely false. I ask, God, that you would set them free now in Jesus' name. I just proclaim freedom. I proclaim your truth. Holy Spirit, come and set them free from guilt, from condemnation. Set them free, God, from lies that have been spoken to them and that they have considered them as truth. Maybe I am a horrible person for not giving in to their demands. God, that's just wrong. Set them free from that, God, that we would walk in your truth in what you say about us and your love for us, God. God, that we would do it because love and mercy and grace are meant for us too. And sometimes, God, the most loving, gracious thing that we can do for ourselves is just to not have anything to do with our crazy maker anymore. To speak the truth, to accept your truth in our hearts and in our minds. God, we love you. In Jesus' name. It's all you, baby.